Hello, everybody.
Howdy.
Thank you. Hi, Matt. Welcome, everyone, to the very first PHP Foundation Community Hour. I am here. I'm Elizabeth Barron, the executive director of the foundation, and I'm here with Matt Stauffer, who is the CEO of Titan and also on the board of directors for the foundation. So happy to have you here, Matt. How are you?
I'm happy to be. I'm doing great. We were just texting beforehand, and the lead-in music to this was this very peaceful music, yeah. And it's September and it's fall, and I'm like, oh, I'm ready for autumn. Like I'm here for autumn energy.
Me too. I've already started putting around my little pumpkins and my orange decorations, yep. And stuff. I'm all about it. I love a good, in Ohio, you know, we have corn mazes and all the good stuff. So,
and you also have fall weather, which we don't in Atlanta for another couple months. So
yeah, we do have a pretty good fall. I will say it's not bad.
Yeah.
Although I was telling someone earlier today, it's so hot and humid that, the windows are all steamed up. Because apparently I'm living in a rainforest here in Ohio. So I didn't know. You don't even have to leave your house to travel the world here. Love you get it. It all. So welcome everybody. The reason we wanted to do this. We at the foundation really wanted to just be more accessible for folks and just provide as many points of contact as we can. The original idea I had for this was just for us to sit on a Zoom call. And if anybody shows up, then we answer their questions. And I have done that with other projects before. And it's, especially for newcomers, they can come in and just ask some questions, see what's going on. And that is helpful, I think. But even more helpful, I think, is to have a purpose and like a reason to to be hanging out with each other and not just for no reason, just sitting there on a Zoom call randomly. So. So that's why we kind of evolved this. And then the kind folks at PHP Architect offered to provide the platform, the infrastructure, and shout out to Joe Ferguson, who is also producing this behind the scenes. Yay, Joe. We really appreciate you and all your support. You've been amazing and fantastic, just like all the folks at PHP Architect. So big shout out to them for partnering with us and helping us run this, because I don't know how to do that. So, so thank you, Joe. Okay. So Matt, tell us a little bit about yourself. Like, what is it that you work on mostly?
Yeah. So I am the CEO of a Laravel consultancy, but we say Laravel cause that's where a lot of work goes because it's modern PHP, but we do really a lot of PHP stuff. So it's easy to say we are a PHP consultancy. So we work for people, nonprofits, small to medium businesses, big enterprise, startups, scale ups, who need help either building their initial application, getting their dev team set up, or often either modernizing, or we use the phrase rescue a lot. Not everybody needs a rescue, but when you need a rescue, you know you rescue, and we love doing that. So we work with a lot of legacy applications, meaning something that the current team are not the people who wrote it, or the tech stack is out of date, or technical data is bad, or whatever it is. So we work a lot with things that are very functional for the people who need it, but they know it's not where they want it to be. Like, that's my happy space, right? Is like, not that I wouldn't work with somebody who's a, you know, doughy eyed dreamer or whatever, but I really like this. This really provides benefit to real people, which is one of the reasons why I love PHP and the PHP Foundation, because I'm like, functional code spread out across the internet doing real good for real people. PHP is going to come up real high on that list. So
I love it. I love it. I couldn't agree more. Thank you for that. I also want to just mention one of the inspirations for this kind of theme that we're going to be running for the next few months, I suppose, is how do people contribute back to PHP? You know, the foundation cares entirely about the sustainability of the PHP language. And of course, it would not even be here without contributions from the community. So really helping foster that, I think, is very, very important to the foundation. So I was really glad that you wrote that post, because that was pretty awesome. For those who don't know, maybe Joe can drop the link. Oh, there we go. See, he's already on top of it. Thanks, Joe. There's a link to the post that I'm talking about that Matt wrote. That really was kind of the inspiration for this, for this podcast. And I don't know if my connection might be a little bit weird. Sometimes Restream
good from my side.
play nice with the Chrome. So, okay, awesome. So let's talk about that post, Matt. Like, what was the inspiration for you to write that? And like, yeah, where did that come from?
Yeah, I mean, and when I answered your first question, I told you about how I like to, you know, what I'm doing at work. But in my free time or in the ways that I use my company to justify doing things I want to do in the world, it's very important for me to make programming accessible to people. I want people, I've seen so many people's lives transformed by programming and to talk about how I did this and now I can do this and I can travel, I can have whatever. So I want that to be accessible. So I write books, I do podcasts, I speak conferences. I want people to be able to enter into it. But a lot of my time and energy has been in the new technologies. You know, first it was responsive design, and then I did, you know, WordPress and Expression Engine, and then Craft CMS, and then CodeIgniter and Laravel. It's the newer stuff that are still getting established and still learning how to teach people. But every once in a while, I'd say, well, you know, my core, my first backend programming language I learned was PHP. And, you know, so I'll go back to PHP or whatever else and say, oh, I want to make sure that those are really accessible. And I often would find it difficult for me as someone who's very experienced in contributing in other spaces to contribute to PHP. And I had to kind of evaluate, like, why is that the case? And how much, where's the truth there? And where's the lie there? And there's both. Because as I was thinking through, like, I need a canonical place to be able to allow people to be involved in this process. Part of the answer was that a lot of people are contributing to the PHP world in ways that we don't necessarily call contributing to PHP that we should. And then also there are ways that people want to that don't feel as accessible as I think that the people, everyone wants these things to be more accessible. It's not like there's some evil, you know, corporation trying to keep people from contributing, but we just need to do some work of communication, collaboration, community building to make those things easier. So I was like, let's get it all together in one place. And if someone says, I've always wanted to contribute to PHP, we're like, great. Start here. Like, you're not going to end here. It's a blog post. It's got to keep it short. But let's have a single source. And that's for others and also for myself. Like, I want to make sure that when I'm having these conversations or even being critical of how difficult or easy it is to contribute to something, I should make sure I really know what the heck I'm talking about versus referring to 15 years ago. Because the amount of time I spend criticizing people who talk about PHP based on PHP 15, 20 years ago, I'm just like, I shouldn't be doing that. I need to do better. So I was like, let's get it all together in one space so the conversation's happening.
Yeah, I love that. I really think that that is important to have that, just that anchor, like you said, that starting point. And, you know, it might evolve as we go, and that's great.
Yes,
you know,
it may evolve.
Exactly, as other channels pop up. I'm curious, like how, okay, so in the post, you have three basic areas that people can contribute. You know, we kind of just lumped them into three buckets. One is the PHP project itself. One was PHP ecosystem. And then, of course, the foundation itself. What out of those and like all of the different ways that people could contribute within those buckets, what do you think, and this is just your opinion, would be the like the lowest barrier to contributing? Somebody just like no or low barrier.
Yeah, the lowest barrier is where you already are. And that's not necessarily because that's easier or harder, but because you're already in those spaces. For example, if you have a local meetup, your easiest option is to go to the local meetup. If you, you know, attend a conference every year, your easiest option is to be more involved in the conference. Heck, even just going to the conference is already a part of contributing. So that's one piece of it. But if you don't have those, then I don't want to say the easiest thing's a meetup and you're like, my closest meetup is 3 hours away. Then that's not the easiest thing. So probably soon after the easiest thing that is close to you is the things that are specifically built around bringing newcomers in. And the most newcomer focused thing would probably be do anything that the foundation is doing, where it's ambassador programs or anything where it's just sort of like, hey, all you got to do is show up and be a person. Those are pretty accessible. So the PHP Foundation ambassador meetings, or anytime there are surveys or anything else, the foundation is doing work to make sure that regardless of your level of expertise, regardless of your familiarity with more complicated processes like RFCs, you can step into it. So I think those are the two. The first one is wherever you are. The second one is the foundation. But again, if you spend your time in the WordPress world, then that's probably the easiest thing. And the most important thing for me is to make it clear that contributions to any individual component, framework, package, lifecycle, meetup, anything in the PHP world is a contribution to PHP. It does not have to be to the language itself to count as giving back to the community, the family, the ecosystem. And so working on WordPress, making WordPress better, is contributing towards PHP. Working on Laravel, Symfony, whatever else is contributing towards PHP. I would say that things that are working on the language are probably some of the more difficult ones, which is where some of the conception of it being difficult to contribute to PHP comes from. So if you're like, I want to work on the language specifically, I would say it's probably the being able to reproduce other people's bugs is one of the easier ones. You go to the issues and PHP source and GitHub and say, what are other people running into? Can I run into the same thing? You know, I think that's probably my easiest. And you could say the documentation is easier, but it's hard to write docs sometimes. So I would say if you want to work in the language itself, finding other people's issues and either being able to or not able to reproduce them is probably my easiest onboarding there.
Yes, I love it. I cannot agree with you more in that our definition of contribution should be broad. It should be broad because every interaction, every engagement, every time somebody shows up somewhere, that is absolutely a contribution and absolutely not only just, you know, especially at conferences, you know, supporting the conference organizers by buying a ticket. Like that is a contribution. You are contributing to the cause and you're making sure that these events keep going because we would be lost without these events, quite frankly. They are a necessary part of our community and they should be they should go on forever, in my opinion. Like, and if you've not been to a conference, you're really missing out. You really, really are if you can at all, you know, make that happen. Or a meetup, I think, is, you know, is equally as good. And if, you know, if you have to drive 3 hours, I think the phrase goes that then you get to be the organizer of the user group in your area. Like if there is not one, then that's you, which is a heavy lift. I get it. But yeah, just, you know, anything that people is spending time, energy, effort in making it better is absolutely a contribution.
And there are also online groups. So online meetups or some meetups are part online and part not online.
Absolutely.
So there's lots of opportunities for, even if you can't go there physically, to still be a part of what's going on.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And I think too, you know, you don't even have to have been in the community a long time. I think to your point, including newcomers in your own learning journey or, you know, helping other newcomers like yourself find their way. Like, I think that is an absolutely great contribution or even, you know, providing that experience back to somebody who's running a project, maybe in the ecosystem is like, hey, as a newcomer, I found this hard or I couldn't find this in the docs. Like, did you have that subject matter expertise of being a newcomer, right? And the people who've been working on the project forever, they don't see the holes, they don't see the gaps. So even as a newcomer, brand new, you can still contribute very, very, very well.
And you mentioned not having been in the community for long. I want to define what being in the PHP community means. It means having written a line of code, having read a line of code, having been assigned to a project with a PHP, even having never done written or like, there is no barrier to entry. And I'm not saying nobody has ever suggested there isn't, right? Like, I'm fully aware of the historic dynamics that have made some people feel like insiders, outsiders, but I'm saying, like, from every power, ounce of power that I have, you are a member of the PHP community if you've even asked the question, am I a member of the PHP community? Period. That's it. And you're no more or less important than somebody who's been doing it for ages because everybody's voice is important. Being even somebody who has like right access to something doesn't make them necessarily more right. They might be more aware of the implications of a particular change or whatever. Like, it's not to say they shouldn't be respected and considered, but it's not the same, right? Or it's not the same. What I'm trying to say is basically like everybody matters sounds so trite.
No, I totally agree though, because everyone plays a role, right? Like it takes all the pieces to make the puzzle whole.
Yeah.
So if we just had like a small group of people who work on the language and that's it, then okay, but we don't. Like the PHP community is absolutely massive. Yes. And so it takes all of those roles. Everybody plays a part. So I totally agree.
Thank
100%.
You.
It looks like we have some questions in the chat. So let me just read that for a second. It says having mentors or big sisters, big brothers with that kind of a vibe. It says that can welcome you into the community and a project. Show you. Oh, here we go. There it is right there on screen. Sometimes you show up and you don't know where to start. I think that's really, really interesting. And I think that so the foundation just started an onboarding special interest group, which I think mentorship is going to be something that group talks about, but it really is to improve that experience of newcomers because it is incredibly overwhelming. I mean, you know, like we were just talking about, like, there's just so much. I was actually trying to to share with one of my friends from another open source project how they could get started in PHP. And I'm listing all these links of all these places, and I'm like, oh my God, like it's a lot. Do you think that like it would be helpful to have all of that in one place, like more than just your post, which is incredibly helpful, but even just like a job board for contributions, or an opportunity board, or some like central hub for all of these bits and pieces that are floating out there? Do you think that would be helpful?
Yes and no. So I think the yes is this blog post is a short blog post that still requires you to do a lot of heavy lifting. And if we were to turn it into something more complicated, that could say, now we're going to pull this specific list. This is the list that we're actually asking for outside help. And we can make that more robust. So in some ways, absolutely yes. The downside for me is, and I've seen this happen a lot historically, the more we try to systematize, automate, program it, what we're really doing is, as programmers, enjoying the process of building an application more than actually just sitting down and doing the thing. So I'm wary of the temptation to say, let's build a tool and then it will solve the problem. And then what you end up doing is building a tool that now it pulls in some automated stuff, but if it's automated, then some of it's going to be junk. And then it requires some manual work, which if it's manual, it's going to be maintained for the first 4 weeks while everybody's hyper-focused on it. And then they're going to be a little bit less hyper-focused. So I could see some value. But I do hope that at bare minimum, we say whether or not this magic tool that we're hoping to put together, which I think is a great idea inherently, is functioning, you at least know where to go, right? Because like nobody's going to sit on this tool and have it be their favorite thing forever. But there will be people who continue to run the PHP source repo as long as PHP exists, right? So yes and no?
Yeah. So to your point, maybe the answer is to like somewhere in between. So not like a super granular, this is an issue that needs to be closed. But to your point, here's a list of, here's where Drupal lists their contribution opportunity. Here's where WordPress does. Here's where, you know, and just having that, maybe that list or that resource hub more than an actual listing of like ABCD would be helpful. Yeah.
And one thing worth asking anytime we're talking about building a tool is, who's the audience and what is that audience looking for? You know, I talk a lot about jobs to be done. Like, what is the job we're trying to do here? And if the job is somebody really does want to know all the things that needs to be done across the entirety of the PHP ecosystem, then okay. Is there anybody who's going in and they're like, you know what? What I want is an issue. And I don't care if it's Drupal, Symfony, Laravel, WordPress. Probably not, right? Somebody's probably either very specifically interested in contributing to PHP language, or they're in an individual community and they want to do work in that community. So there could be value saying, okay, that person can go and answer a little mini wizard or something. Oh, here's what I care about. I care about PHP, whatever. But if they're in the Drupal community, they probably already know what Drupal cares about, right? If they're in the WordPress community, they probably already know about what WordPress cares about. So again, if there's a way to do it in a way that adds value that's not already out there in the internet, 100%.
Yeah.
If not, though, one thing we could do is say, we trust that each community has independently created spaces for its members to understand where to contribute there. And the PHP language itself is one where we feel like maybe it could use something a little bit better than we currently have. And if you're looking for blah, 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 we have a link for every single one. Drupal has officially said, this is the place to go for Drupal, just in case you don't know. WordPress has said, go here, just in case you don't know. But what we're doing here is PHP, because there is no organizing group like there is for all those other worlds. So let's do it. We're the foundation. We're not in charge of PHP, but might be something that we can do to benefit creating that space for PHP specifically.
Yeah, that's super, super interesting. I also know that, you know, if you can make it easy for people to find their people. So for instance, you know, to your point, like filling out a little wizard or something might be interesting. Are you looking to connect with people locally? Are you looking to connect with people online? Are you looking to write docs? Like what is your skill? What are you looking for? And how involved do you want to be? I think those are the three kind of levers, I guess you could say, that I like to focus on when helping people decide, you know, how much time do you have? Like how much, what's your level of engagement? Are you like all in, or are you like, I just want to comment once a year on this thing. Cause that's all the time I have. So it really is kind of like, how involved do you want to be, the skills that you have specifically, and, you know, what exactly you're looking for to get out of it. So, and that's the other thing too. I mean, people contribute for so many different motivations, whether it be career building, whether it be, you know, finding connections with people, friends, you know, having a portfolio, like whatever it is, or, you know, to your point, making the world better because you have a skill and you want to do that thing. So I think that is super valid. And, you know, speaking of that, I'm just kind of curious, like, how did you, like, what was your motivation for contributing specifically? Like, did you have one in mind, or was it just to, you know, make things better? Or like, what were you thinking when you started contributing?
Yeah. So my first, I looked it up on GitHub. My first contribution, a pull request to an open source repository was in 2012 to the jQuery Stickum repository. So I programmed through the late 90s, early 2000s, doing custom PHP, HTML, CSS when it showed up, JavaScript when it showed up. But I went to school for English. I was working at nonprofits, but I ended up still always being the tech guy at nonprofits. And then I decided to move back full-time into tech in 2011. And at the time, we were building CodeIgniter and Expression Engine sites. But there's this new idea called responsive web design. And I was like, this is the future. This is absolutely it. Because, you know, I'd done my 640 by 480 sites and then my 1024 by 768 sites. And I was like, responsive design's magic. So I put a lot of my energy and time into learning and teaching, creating my own repositories and interacting with other people. So my first two open source pull requests were in September and October 2012 on jQuery plugins that were responsive. Because that was like the new thing. Neither of them were merged. Which is fun because I've actually met the guy who ran the repo much later. Like, I don't know, Trevor Davis, like maybe like a decade later. And he, you know, was at a conference that I was speaking at. And he's like, oh, thank you for your talk. And I was like, I know you. You were my first open source pull request. So my motivation was, hey, I've been spending all this time and energy writing my own custom JavaScript, my own custom CSS to figure out how to do this. And I want to contribute. I want to give what I've learned back to other people. I made some of my own packages, but I'm not going to make a package for something that already exists. But in this particular case, we were building the first big site that we were able to convince anybody to use responsive web design on, which is gene.com for Genentech. And we sold it to them early and they were on board and they're like, let's do it. But Genentech is a massive organization with all sorts of complexity, different pieces of the organization. And we needed a universal header that worked in lots of different spaces. And I was like, hey, can you give me this one setting? And in the end, he was just like, I don't understand why you need that setting. I was like, totally fine. And it actually helped me in the early days learn about the fact that open source doesn't need to necessarily reflect the specific needs of every single person, as long as you give them the space to override things or whatever. But yeah, my motivation was very much, I had to do some custom code. It might be easier for people to not have to go down this crazy rabbit hole that I went down if it was just built into this project by default. Let's see if it's something that maintainer is interested in. The answer was no, and it still was a great experience.
Yeah, yeah, that's so fascinating. I think it's pretty intimidating too to, you know, open your first pull request.
And to especially knowing it's going to be around 14 years later, right? Like, don't screw it up. Like,
it's in perpetuity, I guess you could say. It's like not going away. So it's very intimidating. And, you know, I talk to people a lot about this. And, you know, I'm really glad that you just did it and didn't let your own kind of, not insecurities, but maybe get in the way. You know, you were just trying to help. And I think that that is really what a lot of people just want to help. They just want to, you know, scratch their own itch. They just want to fix something they see is broken. And so, yeah, good for you. That's really, really awesome.
I mean, it's a lot easier if we believe inherently that people on the internet are generally kind and generally and well-intended. And while we can have negative experiences on the internet, the vast majority of times that's not actually people, it's bots. And even when it is people, it's usually people who are not in their healthiest state. And if we can just kind of say like, that's their problem and not my problem. Most of the time it's a person dealing with a person who are all generally good and healthy. It's like, yeah, this is going to go fine. And they'll be understanding.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I do tend to see the good in people for good and bad, I guess. But, I think that was actually what brought me into the PHP community was the, how friendly everybody was and how awesome and helpful they were. And just that kind of that commitment to helping other people. I did not find that in other places. And so I just think that's really special about the PHP community. I think it probably is in other places, but for me it was PHP. And I don't want us to ever lose that. I love that part of the community. You know, that's where we're here. We wanna help the next person that comes along. We wanna save them the trouble, right? We wanna use our learnings to save somebody else a little bit of time and energy if we can. Yeah. So I think that's great. That's really, really awesome. I see another question in the chat here. It says, would the foundation ever consider getting involved with helping people start up and manage local PHP user groups? So funny that you would say that. I think that so in September, the plan is to launch a another special interest group. This is no surprise to anybody. It was in the doc I posted a couple months ago that will be specifically for user group and conference organizers to come together, share challenges, figure out, you know, how we can kind of solve this, these issues together of, you know, getting attendance, getting speakers, getting sponsors, all of these things that people share, regardless of, you know, the event that you're putting on. There are common themes that come up, common challenges. So like, let's figure this out together. And I think that that is definitely going to be part of it, is providing some guidance to people who want to start something in their own, I know, right? To start in their own places. As far as like financially, I would love for the foundation to be able to do that, to, you know, offer small, you know, grants, micro grants to people who are just starting out to get them going. I don't know if that's something we can do. Honestly, I would need to do some budgeting and some chit chats with the board about that. But I would really love to do that. I think that would just be so helpful to get people started, because it is hard to start a user group if you're going to set it up to maintain it for a while. To your point, Matt, like there's excitement in the beginning, and then, but it's when the first rush falls off is like, that's when the challenge is. So, you know, a new group might get a lot of attendance at the beginning, but keeping that going and keeping the sponsors going and all of that stuff. So yes, to your question, we do want to help people start up and maintain their own user groups. I think that is the lifeblood of open source. That might make me sound old. I don't know. But I mean, that's how I got into these spaces. You know, I can credit my career for the community work that, and the community connections and the community, just the friendships, honestly, the friendships that I made back in, you know, in the late 1900s and the early 2000s. Right. I hate saying that. It makes me feel so weird, but
late 90s. True. There you go.
Yeah. Late 90s. There we go. That's much better.
I would say that a lot of people have the perception that it's very expensive to start a user group. And I have someone who has helped, I've never been the primary organizer, but I've helped start multiple user groups over the years in different cities and different ecosystems. And food is really the thing that usually costs the most money, and you don't have to have food.
Nope.
You can have a great user group with no food at all. Or like, for example, I went to Atlanta PHP meetup recently, and the only food that was there was one guy brought a couple 6-packs of beers in case anybody liked beers. And the host who donated the space, which getting a host to donate space is probably one of the most key things you can do, said, hey, we had a meeting this afternoon, there's a little bit of leftover pastries if you guys want. But like, there could have been no pastries and no beers, and it would have been a perfectly fine meetup. Everybody walked over afterwards to you know, a little brewery or stuff like that. It would have been fine without that too. So like, the food is not the thing. We're not college students who come just for the free pizza. It doesn't hurt, but you can have a meetup with zero cost as long as you have a sponsor. For the physical location.
It's the space. Yeah.
And yeah. You know, and so find a local business or something.
Yep. Go ahead. Yep. And here in Cincinnati, we, I was talking to, Bill Condo actually about, reviving we called it the Ohio, Indiana, Northern Kentucky PHP user group. So it was Boink Pug was our thing. So like, we had a good time at that. And we just like, when I came, it had been going for maybe, I don't know, a year or so, 6 months, something. And I started going, and it was just at our library. We just had a space in the library that they let us have for no cost. I mean, it was very chill. And again, we would go over to the restaurant across the street after and hang out for a little bit. And then it was a little more casual, but there wasn't anything. There was not a drink, not anything in the library. Yeah. So, but it was awesome. And the whole point is just to bring people together and to give them something, a shared, you know, that shared experience, that shared interest, I think is just really, really powerful. And I am, even though the meetup really kind of just dissolved, I guess, faded away, you know, at some point, I'm still friends with a lot of those people, you know? So like, those relationships, they're just so valuable. And the insights and the learning that we did and the collaboration and the, you know, the shared projects that we worked on. I mean, it's amazing. So, I'm a huge fan of the user group. And I know that after COVID, it's been hard to kind of bring people back out and get them back into that groove. But I really do have faith that people crave that in-person contact or even online, like they crave that, right? Like it's hard to be remote and just by yourself sometimes. Sometimes it's great, but sometimes you just want to like just hang out with people, right? Yeah. Like not all the time, right?
Yeah.
So, okay, let's see if we have more questions here. For user groups, yeah, letting someone know what to think about what they need to consider be huge. Yeah, helping find presenters. Yep, especially in the early days. Yeah, so that's really, I think, something that the foundation can help with is really just empowering people, enabling people, and helping them do good work wherever they are. Whatever that is that they want to do, like that's my goal, is to help people figure that out and find a place where they can contribute and make a difference. So I'm thinking about like what do you think? I want to check our time too. Okay. What do you think is, and maybe this is not a good question to ask, I don't know, but what do you think is like one of the most impactful things that people could do to contribute? Like, that's kind of a hard question. And I don't know if that's even a good question.
I'm so good at it depends answers. I'll give you another one of them. It depends.
I mean, it does, right? Yeah.
Right. So I would say, first of all, it's the same answer as last time. Where are you and what are you uniquely capable of doing? If you're a great writer, then documentation is probably the best way you can contribute. If you know C and you're willing to dive in, then being involved in the source might actually be the best way you can contribute. If you have access and impact to people who make technology decisions for their companies, their startups, schools or whatever, then you might be a cultural influencer who's able to say, hey, you know what? PHP is super modern. Look at this really cool stuff we're doing at PHP. So it's going to differ depending on where you have capability, where you have availability, and where you have impact. Yeah. I would say the assumption that working on the language is the most impactful thing you can do is a misconception. And also, if you have the ability to contribute to the language, it is very valuable and we could absolutely use more people who are willing to put their time in there. So that's my first one. It's not as vital. It's not as important to be the only thing you can do. And yet if you can do it, please go do it. Like 100%. Thank God for people who continue to work on the language. So that's like a baseline. And then after that, I think it's really where are you gifted? Where are you connected? What access do you have? So like, again, helping an individual package be better helps all of us. Helping an individual framework be better helps all of us. You know, the special interest groups that the PHP Foundation are doing are based on the research of a very smart person. You may have heard of her, Elizabeth Barron, about what we need in the industry, like what PHP needs. And so she did a whole bunch of work when she first stepped up as the executive director of the PHP Foundation to try and figure out what do we as a group and as a community and leaders in the communities think are the most important things for us to be contributing right now. And then she said, let me put groups together to make those things happen. So if you're like, I literally don't know what to do, if you just show up to one of the PHP Foundation's significant or special interest groups, those are tailored around people having already asked the questions of what is most important for us to be doing right now. Find one of those that appeals to your interest. And it's a curated set of opportunities for you to be a part of doing something that is needed.
Thank you for that wonderful answer. I swear I did not pay him to say that. All those lovely things. Thank you, Beth. That was so nice. I think that is so true though. Like that is something I absolutely love about open source is that you really can just carve your own path. Like there isn't like you don't have to have permission. Like you can just figure out and decide and experiment with what you like to do and where you can make a difference and just kind of find your own way, based on, you know, to your point, like what your experience is and what you want to do and what you have capacity for at the time. And I just think that's the best thing about open source. What other industry can you do that? You know, like I don't know. Maybe there are other industries out there, but you know, I think that is something so special about open source and that there really is space for everybody, designers, writers, project managers, community managers, coders, document, like whatever it is that you want to do, you can do.
You said something there that I think is really cool, which is that we often think that I'm in a world of X. And so there are people who are really good at X and I'm not as good at X as they are, therefore I shouldn't contribute. But what I have told people across my entire life is if you're a world of X, but you also do Y, you may be one of the only people in the X community that do Y. And that is a place where you're exceptional. So for example, we're doing work on PHP.net to try and modernize its the visuals. Designers are not prolific. There's not a ton of designers in the PHP community, right? And so those designers might say, oh, I don't know if I can get back because I don't write C, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, you're a freaking designer in the PHP community. Great. Come on, knock on my door. Let's talk. matt@titan.co. So we've got a designer lined up helping do some work, and I'm very, very grateful for his work. I don't know if I'm supposed to say his name out loud yet, but he's someone who's been in the community for a very long time, super capable designer. And I was just like, hey, can you contribute some of your time and energy towards helping the PHP website look? And he's like, yeah, that's exciting. And I'm like, he probably won't ever write C in his life, and he's going to do a massively impactful thing. Same thing for writers and stuff like that. People who don't necessarily think of themselves as like the top of whatever our self-concept of what's important is, you very often are actually more important because you're different than everybody else in the community.
I could not agree more. And I think that, you know, strengthening those bonds with those communities, with like the design community, with writing community, I think will only help us. You know, there are so many opportunities to design things. I mean, even, you know, the foundation, we have a booth now for the foundation, which you and I put together.
Yes.
And, you know, like, just things like that. And you know, we also need to talk about flyers, which I forgot to mention to you, but that's a side conversation we're going to have. But, you know, like if you are using a or know of even a smaller project within the PHP ecosystem, and it looks like they could use some design help, or you know that they are trying to make a presence for themselves at a conference or something, like offering those skills. Oh my gosh. Like to your point, there are not very many people who can do that and who understand kind of the audience and the, you know, the community. And it's brilliant, right? It's brilliant. So I think as just strengthening those communities, our ties with those communities. I was also just thinking too, like accessibility, you know, strengthening our ties to folks who are visually impaired, who are, you know, hearing impaired, like making sure that their experience and their perspectives are included in what we're building is huge, you know? And I think that that is a contribution that I would much, like, I want to hear exactly from them what they need instead of, you know, if I'm building a project, what do I think they need? Because I don't know. Like, they are the ones who will tell you what they need. And so just including them and creating this world where every voice matters. And we have a diverse, rich, excited, friendly community. Oh my gosh! Like, what could be better than that? What could be better for PHP than that? Like, honestly, for the sustainability of PHP, what could be better? And it's also just fun, you know. Like, I don't want to do things that aren't fun. Honestly, I'm selfish and lazy, and I don't want to do that. So I want to make the spaces that I'm in fun. I want PHP to still be fun. I don't want us to lose that either. I just caught a message here. I need a SIG group that doesn't require me jumping on a call at 6 a.m. I'm so sorry. I think that is honestly the hardest thing is geographical diversity, is bringing people together in one place. And we were talking about this on a call, one of the calls, trying to make it easier for async engagement to happen. I think that's that's a big piece of it, because you just can't find a time that works. You just can't. And in my experience, once you have kind of a critical mass of folks, which is ironically catch-22, you can't get that diverse group of folks across without having separate meetings. But also, you need that group across to maintain and sustain those separate meetings, having them at the different time zones. So it's a challenge forever. And like we've talked about too, you know, changing it up, moving the time from like week to week or month to month, whatever. And I think that's also, it's the same with user groups, right? Like that's a challenge, is finding a day and time that work for people. Some people want to go on the weekend.
At least user groups have the benefit of being all in the same time zone, but they have different stages of life or different whatever else. It's still a problem.
And so it's the same kind of challenge where do we move it to accommodate more people, or is that going to lose people because now they don't know when the meeting is and they come to, you know, just have a regular cadence. So always these challenges. And I don't know the answer to that. I don't know the answer to that.
In some ways, there is no answer. We just put up a job posting, and I've had a lot of people say your job posting. So it didn't say North and South American time zones only. It said, we are heavily biased towards North and South American time zones. If you want to apply from outside of there, you are going to have a bias against you that you're going to have to overcome. I want you to know that up front. And one of the questions is, if you're applying from outside there, is tell us why you're overcoming the bias. And a lot of people are just said, I don't think it's reasonable that you're concerned about this. And I'm like, well, we all need to meet together and be aligned. And the presumption that everything can happen asynchronously is a misconception. Some things can happen asynchronously. Some things can't, or if they can, it's significantly harder to do with the same level of quality to do them asynchronously. So yes, asynchronous, remote, great ideas. But like I read Remote by 37 Signals book, and I was just like, yeah, that's not how we operate as a remote company. It's been remote since 2011. And I don't plan to change to work that way. So there are limitations that are inherent and unbreakable if you're talking about collaborating purely asynchronously.
Yeah.
And it's just, that's just how it is.
It is what it is. Yeah. Yeah. I worked for GitHub for 6 years, and that was a remote first company, but we still had to have meetings in person every now and again with our like small team, and with the whole entire company. They would bring everybody together for a GitHub summit. And so I think it's important for collaboration, but I think more importantly, it's important for building trust among people and like strengthening those personal relationships with people. And when you have trust with someone and you know what they mean, not what they say, you know, you're giving them the benefit of the doubt a little more. And I think that those kinds of relationships can only happen either in person or on calls. Like, you know, async to a point, but I think you, like, when you can look at someone in the face, in the eyes, and like, you know, get their vibe, it's a lot different in building those relationships than just hearing what I type or reading what I type, you know, or hearing what I type. So I think I totally agree that that async is great for, especially for inclusivity, folks who are not native English speakers and where there's a heavy bias towards English. And so they need a little more time to collect their thoughts or write out what they're trying to say. Just having that, like, I see your vibe. I get a different, I get more data about you as a person when I can see you and have an interaction with you real time. So,
yeah. And it's the same thing between like when you have the conversations about remote versus in person. Mm-hmm. I have run a remote company since 2011, and I can still acknowledge that there is a level of collaboration that happens, not just because of seeing the people, which I completely agree about, but also the way a collaborative experience about a particular topic happens when you're there in the same physical space, or you're talking to each other in the hallway as you get water or whatever. That doesn't happen remotely when it's a one-hour Zoom block. And then that happens even less if it's purely asynchronous. So there are levels. The further you get away from being with the same person in the same room, the more work it is to get a lot of those positive interactions that happen towards collaboration. And that doesn't mean that I'm now going to have an on-site team. I still have a remote team, but we have to understand that there's costs that are introduced with every level of distance and separation and asynchronicity that we have to contend with. And everybody has to pick where they're going to be. There's no answer. There's no one answer for everybody.
Yeah, I totally agree. I also did a talk one time about the different layers of communication and how, you know, the further down you go, the more space there is for misinterpreting and miscommunication and like letting your own biases come in and like reading things into connecting dots that person didn't intend for you to connect. Yeah. Whereas like even like if in small groups, you know, people are human and they're difficult and biased and they have opinions, very strong opinions. But if you are sitting having a meal with someone, you can talk about things a little easier. You can talk about hard topics a little easier. On the internet, it's very easy to just, you know, shoot off something that you wouldn't say to someone in person. And so I think that to your point, there are certain conversations about difficult things that you can only do in person. Or maybe on a call, but in person is the best, you know.
Yeah.
For sure. For sure. Yeah. Okay, let's check this here. I see a lot of chats happening. I'm sure I'm not missing any questions for you. Okay, I think we're good. Yeah. Maybe the PHP Foundation should have a merch store. Yeah. We don't even have t-shirts for ourselves. Maybe we should.
Maybe start there.
I got stickers. I do have stickers, which I don't know if they're the right color. I don't know. I'm going to have you look at them, Matt. You can tell me if they're the right color. They look a little purple, so I don't know. But
yeah, color's difficult. Sometimes we just take the best we can get.
That's it. That's it. That's close enough. But I do have them. So if you see me at a conference, I will have some PHP stickers for people. So I think we have just a few minutes left. I'm wondering, okay, let me look at here. Okay, so we talked about, you know, the contributing at the foundation itself, but is there anything that the foundation can do to make it either easier to contribute with us or other places in the ecosystem or the language itself? Like what can the foundation do to help kind of help people find their way or make it easier for them?
Yeah, one thing you and I talked about earlier when I was working this blog post is you said this is sort of a blog post, but it's almost more just like a resource that we want access to. And so one things we can do is have more of these universally accessible resources. And maybe we take some blog posts that are like this and turn them into something that's meant to live longer. PHP itself does have a how to contribute page. It's super out of date, but it's also primarily about the PHP language. So I do think there being a universally accessible, here's how to contribute if you want to get started. And like I said, a lot of the content can just point to other places. This is the canonical Laravel, Symfony, you know, Craft, whatever, how to get, you know, link to there, done. And then if you want to contribute or be involved in PHP, here's the actual kind of write-up, and it can be a little bit more robust. We can also use that as an opportunity to improve the how to contribute to PHP, the language stuff that's on php.net. I think those are the best ones. And then I also mention the special interest groups and stuff, because you kind of have to follow the foundation socially to know what we announced 3 months ago or, you know, be on a particular social channel. Not everybody's on Mastodon or whatever else.
Yeah.
So I do think if we just say every single piece of information you ever need to know about being involved in what the foundation is doing, or a link to every person that PHP Foundation thinks you might want to get involved in, is all accessible at one specific URL that is there perennially, that is not a blog post that now is 3 years old or whatever. I think that would probably be pretty valuable thing for us.
Yeah, I totally agree. I completely agree. Do you think that that should live on, I'm just curious, and you don't have to answer if you don't want. Do you think that should live on php.net, or do you think it should live like on the foundation, or where should that live?
This will be my most controversial thing I say, and I've tried to be non-controversial. Anything on php.net that explicitly mentions a sub-community of PHP is going to cause drama. If you mention WordPress, it's going to be, why not this super tiny little, you know, CMS that has three users? If you mention Laravel, it's going to be, why not this framework that I made myself and I'm the only person using it? And it's silly, and I hope we can get past that. But it is a current reality that if you mention anything that is not PHP, that is a the framework community, whatever, it's going to get mired up in drama. And so would it be nice for it to eventually live on php.net? 100%. I do think that the foundation has a little bit more leeway to just say, hey, look, we looked at the download numbers. We use those download numbers to decide which are the six that we should mention, because those six packages or frameworks or whatever have 99% of the downloads. We're going to just do it. And it's just like, the foundation has the ability to move things through, not just one person spearheading it through. You still have to go, the board has to approve and the, you know, whatever, in a way that php.net does not. PHP has a wonderful process for how to process and work through suggested changes to the language. PHP does not have that same process yet. Hopefully it will soon, for how to make any other changes, marketing changes, website changes, or anything like that. So eventually, yes, on php.net, but I think that the foundation website is a place for us to start things moving. And also maybe just prove out what does and doesn't work. And then proposing something to on the php.net website that has been functional and ironed out over the span of months to years on the foundation website, I think can be easier.
Yeah, I really, really like that idea a lot. Because it is a conversation for, always. Like, where is the line, you know? And you could also make the case that these smaller projects are the ones that need help the most, because they're just starting out, they're struggling, they really want contributors, like that's what helped them the most. So I can see both sides of it.
Yeah.
But to your point, like maybe we have that as a feature of this. If you're looking for an established process with like a stable community that has a lot of experience in mentoring and onboarding newcomers, maybe go here. You know, maybe that's another a filter. I don't know. Yeah. I'm just.
And there's also a possibility that we update the php.net website to say, if you're contributing to PHP, the language, here is a much more modernized, much more updated contribution guide. I don't think anybody complained about that. If you're interested in contributing in other ways, here is a link to a page in the PHP Foundation website.
Yeah.
I think getting that link in to a PHP Foundation hosted page is going to be much, much, much easier than agreeing to get all the contents officially embedded in a php.net source code. You know, so that might be our routine.
Agreed. And also just the maintaining of it. You know, we at the foundation can maintain it because we're looking at it and it's like we own it. But on the php.net website. There's not really, unless somebody says, I'm going to watch this page every day and make sure that it's constantly updated, which I don't know that we would get. I think that's another kind of case to make for it just living on the foundation.
And I really like the idea of the php.net website, understanding that PHP is more than just a language. Also, the way our processes and systems and everything like that are currently set up, the more the php.net website primarily focuses around language things and outsources the work of non-language things outside of the website, the more our current processes are able to be effective. And that doesn't mean I don't want a different process 2 years from now, like the RFC that was put together for the, I forget what those little, the little different groups were. But like, I don't know if it went for, do you know what I'm talking about? They were like community groups or special interest groups within PHP or something.
Are you talking about Ben's RFC?
Yeah,
for working
Ben
groups?
Ramsey's.
Yeah. I think he's calling them working groups. This is why we didn't call ours working groups.
So if we were able to get working groups together, then I think a year from now, these processes would be completely different. So I'm just like, what works right now, and fingers crossed, we're in a very different situation a year from now.
Yeah. Yep. That makes total sense. Let me see. I don't know that I had really anything else. Does anybody have? We've been watching this chat thing come across. Oh, someone just learned about the PHP Foundation. Yay! Hey. That's another thing that we have to work on is awareness. So yeah, even just sharing a post that we have in your group, that is a contribution to us. So thank you very much to share one of our social media posts to your network. Is awesome. We appreciate that very, very much. I don't really see any other questions here. So I think just to kind of wrap up then what we've been talking about is that some high points that you don't need to know C to contribute to PHP. Although if you do, that would be very helpful because, just to take a little side quest here, that is also something that I think about is PHP's relationship with the C community, because we don't really have a strong relationship with them. Like, we don't really have advocates inside that community saying, hey, come work on PHP. It's a great place to be. It's, whatever. And that is on my mind because as that pool dwindles, like, we need to keep an eye on that because, there are plenty of other things that C developers can also be working on. So how do we make sure we show up and that we are supporting that community and just strengthening those ties with them for our long-term sustainability? Yeah. I think that that's important for us to think about and just be aware of.
I said that internals contributors are not like more important than a brand new person. But what I want to make sure that I'm saying there is thank God for internals contributors. And it's a very valuable thing. We could use as many people doing that as possible. And the people who have been doing it steadfastly for years to decades.
Yes. Thank you.
You know what I mean? Right? So it's just like we have this weird spot of like everybody matters. And also there are some roles without which we wouldn't be able to have a continuing development language. And we want more people being willing to step into those spaces so that everything stays stable. And thank you for who's doing that right now.
Yeah. 1,000%. I mean, we still do have somewhat in chaos, we call it contributor absence factor, but a lot of people call it bus factor.
Yep.
Contributor absence factor is a little less morbid than bus factor, but, there still are some of those extensions are not being maintained at all. Mm. Some have like one person maintaining them or, a certain area of the language where we just have like a handful of people that know how it works, that know how to fix things. And so building that community out of folks that do understand the internals and do know how to fix things and can review code and can contribute, I think is really important for our long-term sustainability.
And to your point, internals is not just the language itself. We've also got extensions, but we've also got infrastructure stuff. Like every time somebody asks about the PHP website and Derek Ratons comes in and says something, I'm like, I'm so glad you are here and I'm so glad it's not me managing this.
Yes. And shout out to Joe also for working on that with Derek, because that's a whole thing. And people only notice it when things go wrong. And so, that's like a thankless task, but we are thanking them both officially for all of their work there. But even, I think you had in your post as well, testing things is helpful. And so even if you're not a C person, you can still, contribute to that kind of the core part of the ecosystem.
Yep.
all of the contributions that where we can go. So yeah, language. Thank you. That hard word that I couldn't think of. Yeah. So I think if anyone has not read Matt's post, go read it. It's really insightful and awesome and might spark some inspiration in you to to reach out and find your place within the PHP ecosystem, because there's literally no limit to where you can contribute, how you can contribute, and you can really just find your own way that speaks to the things you care about, the things you like to do, and how often you want to do them, you know? So let me see. Oh, there's one. It looks like there's one final question. Is a leading question. Oh yes. Please share the socials, Joe, if you have them. If you don't, that's fine too. I didn't prepare you for that, but we do have socials. We have LinkedIn, and hey, there we go. We do have an X account. We Mastodon, Reddit. We usually post to Reddit too. Where's the other one? Blue Sky. Yeah. I think the only places we don't really post are Threads and
TikTok.
Yes, that's it. And who?
TikTok.
Yeah, we don't really do TikTok
Instagram,
videos.
The video photos, not so much. Yeah. Right? Yeah.
But you know what? If somebody wants to make TikToks for the foundation, I don't know what those would look like. I'm too old for that. I don't know what that would look like. But yeah, I mean, honestly, like, sorry to keep driving this home, but things like social media. Like, that is a skill that only certain people have that actually know how that stuff works and the algorithms and the when to post and all of that stuff and how long and where. Like, that is a skill that every single PHP project in the ecosystem could use, I would guess, you know? So if you are a social media person, there's a space for you here. Like, we want you to come and contribute and help us, you know, build things and promote them.
Yeah.
Because I think that is something that, you know, the marketing and the promotion is something that most places probably aren't that great at. Most, you know, they just want to write code. From my experience, most people just want to write the code. And so promoting it is not what they want to do. They don't want to do that and they're not good at it and they need help. So, yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
100%. All right. Well, we are almost out of time. I'm going to go ahead and wrap this up. This is your final call for questions. You can always just ask us questions wherever we are, like in Discord. You can. It's not like the end of the world if you had a question you didn't get it in. But you got 20 seconds, 10 seconds. I don't know. Yeah. Okay. Well, Matt, thank you so much for taking your time today. I really appreciate it. I really appreciate the post. It was amazing. You're such an asset to the foundation. So yes, thank you for all your work. Just with everything and the SIGs and all of it. You're great. You're awesome. So thank
really
you very
appreciate
much.
You. And you know how happy I am that you're here leading this. So
well, thank you very much. I'm doing my best. That's all I can do. So all right. Well, Joe, if you're around, I guess this is about it. And we will see you all here next month. Same time, I think. Same time, same place. Thanks, everybody. Take care of yourselves. Bye.